Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Governor Pat McCrory recently announced his support of legislation that would not only ban North Carolina from setting up health exchanges under the Affordable Care Act, but also deny health care to 500,000 low-income people in the state by refusing to expand Medicaid. Here to talk about that and what's next for the Affordable Care Act is Professor Jonathan Oberlander of the UNC School of Public Health. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's just jump in. What's your reaction to the news now that it is fairly clear that the General Assembly and our governor are going to refuse to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act and not participate at all in setting up health exchanges?
I'm disappointed. I think it was a tremendous opportunity for North Carolina to make progress in our healthcare system, and it really is an opportunity lost. And with the exchange, the federal government will step in and run it, and I would have preferred that North Carolina play a role in that, but at least we know there's going to be an exchange. But by rejecting the Medicaid expansion, it's really going to have a lot of harmful consequences in the state.
What are some of those consequences? What would be the benefit of expanding Medicaid?
Well, of course, the most obvious consequence is we would expand access to health insurance to the uninsured. And let's keep in mind that most of the uninsured in North Carolina, as in other states, are from working families. And because of the rules of Medicaid right now, a lot of folks can't qualify for Medicaid, even if they make very low incomes, because they don't fit the right demographic category. And what the Affordable Care Act says is that we're going to expand Medicaid up to about 138% of the federal poverty line, around $14,000 a year, and anybody, regardless of demographic category, would qualify. In North Carolina, what that would have meant is over 500,000 folks would have gained access to health insurance. And as a result of this, most of them are simply going to remain uninsured because the state isn't going to expand the program.
And what do you make of the arguments for refusing the expansion seem to be two, centrally? One is that the federal government's funding is uncertain. I guess after the first 3 years, it drops to 90%, but they don't believe that the funding will continue. And secondly, that our Medicaid program is broken and we shouldn't expand it at this time.
I don't find either argument particularly compelling, although I understand them. First of all, let's be clear about one thing, which is there is mounting evidence that Medicaid saves lives. When states expand Medicaid and people get on Medicaid, it saves lives. And so the costs of not taking up the Medicaid expansion are not just economic. There's a lot of human toll we're going to suffer in North Carolina. Back to the arguments. It's true that we can't predict the future of what the federal government's going to do. On the other hand, that's true about any program that the federal government has right now. And we sure take their money for lots of other programs. So I understand that concern, but I think it's more of an excuse than it is a real motivation. In terms of other arguments that have been made about this and Medicaid being broken, there's no question that we can do things to strengthen North Carolina Medicaid, to improve it. On the other hand, it's important to realize we've been a leader nationally through Community Care North Carolina. We are an innovative state in Medicaid. And again, I think that the argument that Medicaid is too broken to expand is really a rationalization from people who don't want to expand it in the first place, and they're just looking for an excuse not to do it.
And how much of all these objections, and there are others, those are the two primary ones that I guess I've heard, is really a philosophical objection to the entire Affordable Care Act as much as it is any specifics of what North Carolina should or shouldn't do?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. There is a strong partisan divide over Obamacare, and there has been from the beginning. And if you look at the decisions on which states set up their own health insurance exchanges, which originally was a Republican idea, you find a strong partisan divide with Democratic-leaning states much more willing to set up exchanges. We're seeing a similar thing on Medicaid, although there have been some Republican-led states out in the Southwest, Governor Brewer in Arizona, in New Mexico, Governor Kasich in Ohio. But for the most part, we're seeing that partisan divide. So what I think is happening in this debate over Medicaid and in the exchanges is states are simply refighting the debate over the Affordable Care Act.
I guess one of the new theories, and maybe this supports your premise there, is that I know the Cato Institute and others have written about a lawsuit that would affect the tax credit portion if federal exchanges are set up. It seems like they're not only fighting the battles in legislative halls, they still want to fight this in the courts.
Yeah, that's a really excellent point. So the Affordable Care Act was upheld as constitutional by the Supreme Court. And of course, a lot of Republican-led states had been counting on the court to throw it out or Mitt Romney to win the election. Now they have to live with it, but they're still looking for holes in it. And one of the holes that they found is that there's a mistake in the text of the law. And while it says that subsidies for the uninsured to buy coverage will be available in state-run health insurance exchanges, it does not say that explicitly about federally run exchanges, which of course was the intent of the law. So they've seized on this, and as you said, there's a lawsuit. Most legal experts believe it will fail, that it is known as what's called a drafting error, and the intent of Congress was clear. Of course, the same experts who are saying that also told us that the individual mandate case wasn't going to be serious, so we'll have to see. But I think you're right that that has played a role in some states in discouraging them from moving forward on their own. And the great paradox is conservative states protesting what they see as the federal takeover of the healthcare system are refusing to set up exchanges, which then leads to Washington running exchanges in their states, which is a great irony.
It is. Indeed, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but given this acrimony in legislatures and in governor's offices across the country, where is the Affordable Care Act going to be in 5 years? I mean, can it survive all the pelting it's taking?
Yeah, I think it can. I do have a crystal ball, but it's very cloudy. Look, I think the decision on the Supreme Court to uphold the law, the re-election of Barack Obama, means that Obamacare is here to stay. The day after the election, Speaker of the House John Boehner said, Obamacare is the law of the land. So I don't believe that Obamacare is going anywhere. The Affordable Care Act is going to move forward. The fights over it are going to continue in Congress, are going to continue at the state level, and are going to continue in the courts. The bulk of the law is going to move forward. I think that the question is how many holes are in the law, because the Medicaid expansion was one of the two major ways we were going to extend coverage to the uninsured. And even if the Affordable Care Act went into effect just as its planners had envisioned, a lot of Americans were still going to be left without health insurance. But in states like Texas, like Louisiana, like now North Carolina that don't do that Medicaid expansion, we're really going to have a higher number of uninsured than we anticipated. And that's bad news for those families in North Carolina. It's also bad news for our hospitals and other healthcare providers who are counting on the Medicaid expansion to offset a lot of the other losses that they're taking. So I think the bottom line is the law goes forward, but the debate is not over.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I wondered if you agree that it seems worth noting that the folks fighting Medicaid expansion, certainly in North Carolina, don't seem to have an answer about how they would insure the 500,000 people that will now not be insured if we reject the Medicaid expansion.
You're right. They don't have an answer. And if you look at what's happened the last couple of years, most of it in terms of the Republican agenda at the national level and the state level has been opposition to Obamacare. And there's been much less attention to what the positive vision would be. Governor Romney, when he ran for president, of course, ran away from his own health plan up in Massachusetts. And I don't think here in North Carolina, I have not heard a lot of alternatives from the governor or legislature on what they want to do about the uninsured. And again, we need to think about who the uninsured are. These are predominantly folks from working families in North Carolina who are working at small businesses that can't afford to provide coverage, who are working at jobs that are low wage, can't buy health insurance. And they're going to keep going to the emergency room, and they're going to keep going without care.
Well, Dr. Oberlander, we really appreciate all the work that you're doing, and we appreciate you being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Krista Simon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.